As I said, this morning's message is entitled, The Furnace of Affliction. We begin our reading, the opening verses, the 15th and the 17th verse was, first, the 15th verse was the declaration of Nebuchadnezzar that the children should bow down, or we say children, that was young men, probably in their 20s or 30s about this time, but they were ordered to worship the king's image, an image that the king had established. And that same thing is going on today, that the government, the people, want us to worship their images and their gods. They want us to follow suit on what they're doing. But God's people is a peculiar people that stand out and that stand for God. They're walking in God's word and continue to grow in God's word and are lights unto the world. These young men became lights unto their generation during that time. We don't know what happened with the rest of their lives. I think this is the last time they speak of them. Daniel, we know he continued to serve the Lord into older age, and that they stood fast, and these were his companions, and usually a man or a woman don't make friends or don't make lengthy friends with people that are not like them. That are not like them. So these young men stood together. And, you know, like I said, you don't associate with bad or fearful or scary or cowardly people, because that begets fear. You can smell that fear on you, you know, that it groups. That's why when Gideon's army was going about, that the Lord said, out of that 32,000, you go down there and find out who's scared. Ask them who's fearful and scared. And let them go on back home, because they would cause the battle to be lost, because people can sense that fear. Satan senses fear. Anyone can sense a fear. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. So these young men didn't have that fear. They had continued to walk in God. And of that 32,000, 22,000 turned around and went home. It's a lot of people in the churches today, they are scared. Because in their hearts and their mind, they know they're not serving God. That they're serving themselves, but they're riding along with the church for what they can get out of it. They just want to go along with the crowd to get along. Now, we read this whole chapter here. And for the brevity of it and the length I have to go in this sermon, I won't read the whole chapter. And a lot of times in churches, a lot of the preliminaries we go through is kind of like evangelistic mission. But Paul said that he had fed them with milk, but he was disappointed because the people wasn't able for strong meat. They hadn't been doing what they had been doing in. A lot of people use this as a childhood story or whatever, and it's not a childhood story. We shouldn't have this. If you look at the story, it's nothing for little kids to stomach, you know, because this is about people being heaved into the fire, in a burning, fiery furnace. The Bible is nothing to play with. And that's what we do. We come to the table and don't put ourselves in these people's position and what was happening. And what was happening doing this. And Nebuchadnezzar, everybody's read that story, and we know of that story. So it's a lot of times you go back, and that's what we should be doing day by day, is studying the word of God. We should have been and read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, especially some of us by our age, countless numbers of times, read the whole Bible. And it's no excuse. There are no excuses. I was walking in Big Lots the other day, and there for about $30 or $40, it was a little computer, a little thing with the whole Bible. The whole Bible, all you have to do is touch a button, and that thing reads out the whole Bible, audio from Genesis to Revelation. And you can just touch it and read what it'll read, whatever chapter you want. So don't say that you're illiterate, you can't see, or you don't. Somebody could read it to you right there on tape. If you pin $30 or $40 on your personal thing, how many of us, you know, own personal self things, you know, entertainment, cable, internet, drinking, entertainment, eating out, eating in, on just personal things, how much we spend on that instead of equipping ourselves for serving the kingdom of God. See, these young men was denying themselves to serve God. And that's the problem there. Like I said, a lot of people want to come into the church, but they don't want to deny themselves and take up their crosses to follow God to get to the position where they can be in like these young men did. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, just like the churches today. Let's start with my first point here, worship. Nebuchadnezzar, its administration was corrupt, just like our government, the world. This present evil world is what we're talking about, right? We know the world is a wicked and an evil times, and we know that it's passing away. His administrators had gotten to the point where they were totally corrupt. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king had made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image where Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. He had misunderstood scripture. He had misunderstood prophecy. The preacher Daniel had came unto him and had given him dreams and visions in which God said he was the head. He was the king of kings. And a lot of us misunderstand scripture and we go off on a tangent and we think we're holier than other people and do other things and want people to worship us or follow us. This government right now, they were in, I don't know if they still could do it, they were in the process of trying to make a proclamation where they do like the rest of the nations. They want you to salute military powers. They want to have a parade where you can say, well, look at all the weaponry, all the pomp, all the power that this nation controls, and to worship the military. That's what the Antichrist, that's what the spirit of the ages is toward, power and military might to what you can do. He sent for his governors, his vice presidents, all of his cabinet to come and worship that image. Nowadays, it could be preachers, famous evangelists traveling around, and you can name them how many men of renown. Just as in the times of Noah was, it was many men of renown. In other words, famous preachers and teachers that people grouped to, flock to the Colosseums and big old, all down into the river center. If they come, they can fill up the Mercedes-Benz thing down there where the saints play at. They can fill up all kinds of coliseums for evangelistic crusades to worship other gods, to worship the gods of the land. And people say, well, look, you don't have to belong to this church or do, all you have to do is come in because they have a lot of good music, a lot of playing. Listen to what he had. This is like one of the finest concert halls, one of the finest things that they had assembled, and it says, look, we can play some music for you. Music calms the savage beast in us. Anywhere you go, doctor's offices, shopping centers, anywhere you go, they got music playing to kind of soothe the bad spirits in you. It's like David had to play music to soothe the evil spirits in Saul. Something about music soothes that in us. He says, look, Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them because he had put all this together. Verse 5 says that at what time you hear the sound of the clarinet, the flute. Listen, he got a lot of instruments there. The clarinet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship. You go to these things, and they go put you in worship mood. All of the Christian people nowadays, they follow, and people ask me, I don't listen at WXOK anymore. I grew up listening at WXOK, but they had sermons, and they had more music on it that was more of a strong spiritual content of following God, but now it's dancing music. If you notice the Christian music and the Kurt Franklins and things of our time and a lot of these musicians that's going on home, the reason a lot of the young people and things, because it's like they said, it's a present and evil age that they know that what they do is get these Christian musicians, so-called Christian musicians, to play stuff that people love, that's accommodate them. And they'll bow down and worship the gods of those people. So they got rap musicians, a Christian musician. They got all kinds of things just to get them into the church, to get them to worship the God of this present age. And you don't have to be denominational about it. All you got to do is come to my church. Come and go to this crusade. This is a famous preacher, or teacher, or whatever. Just come out and see him. We're going to have a lot of music, and it's going to be flaring. We all will have a good time. You don't have to keep going. You just go one time. You could say, well, I've seen him before. I've been to see him before. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want them to keep bowing. All you got to do is just bow one time. The drug addicts and things, what they take, you don't have to get hooked on. Just take one drink. You don't have to get drunk. Just get just a sip of this. Just get a taste of it. All you need is to take one pull of this, one smoke. Just take one hit of this. All it takes is just one hit. Just to be with us. Just a little smoke. Just relax yourself with us. But they said, no, we're not going to do that. After the people came back and said, everybody having a good time and enjoying it, but these Christians over here, these that serving God, they from somewhere else and they act like they more than us. That's the same thing that they said about Lot, wasn't it? Say, here he just came and now he trying to say that his God is more than our God, that he's more than us, and he's some foreigner that's going to tell us this. Well, these people was captives come from Israel, and they say, well, these people, they don't worship what you want to worship, King. And you say, now, they hired my administration, and so I'm going to talk to them, because if I can get them to do it, and they got a habit, you know, they trump out some black person or some person from our race or nationality. If they do it, everybody else should do it, you know, and that's what they do on television. They go get some famous celebrity, some movie star, somebody famous to advertise something. He drinks this, she drinks this, or eat this, and everybody follows that advertisement, follows that famous person. Well, if that's what they're eating, this is what you should follow them on Twitter. You should do these things because this person is doing it. You have to be careful. You need to be careful of those things. But these young men didn't do it. And they said, oh, King, what you could do about that? He resisted the pull of what everybody else doing. He's a stick in the mud. And verse 15, he says, now, I'm going to give you another chance because you don't know the ramifications of what you did. You insulted me. You know, that's what the president of our nation, if you don't go along with his agenda, you're not right, you know, good, and he calls you all kinds of names and everybody. This is some of the worst political and religious times it is. That's why he said this present evil age. Because just because I don't go along with your program, your ideology, your religion or whatever, that doesn't make me the worst of people. You take an ad hominem argument, talk about my character, talk about my looks and everything else. Instead of to each his own. To each his own. If I don't want to worship your God, if this is a polytheistic nation, which it is, just like Babylon was polytheistic. In other words, they worship many gods. Nebuchadnezzar ended up saying, oh, Daniel, your God is the God Most High. He had proved that to him on occasion, but he, his administration and the people had boosted him up to make an image that to make these people worship his image. Now, a lot of people worship, they make their churches non-denominational, say, because denominational divide, and we should all get together. National Prayer Day, let's just all get together and pray. I don't want to pray with you. God may not be hearing your prayer, and you hindering my prayer by my association with you. It's not scripture that we just all have to get along and pray together and fellowship. I got scripture says we shouldn't fellowship together. I got scripture says we shouldn't pray with you. So you got scripture here, we got scripture there. Let each man stand for his belief. And that's what these young men had done. But it takes a lifetime of living faith in the little things. See, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. If you get in a history, a system of ruling over your body, putting it into subjection, then you'll be able to fast. But if all your life you just gluttonous eat all the time and everything, it's going to be pretty hard to fast twice a day. If you just love to eat meat and love to eat a lot of these things, you hadn't disciplined your body, so it's going to be hard for you to get rid of those things. It's going to be hard to face fast days. So Daniel and these young men evidently hadn't lived that way, so they said, well, look, just let us eat vegetables and pulse and everything. We don't want to eat up your dainties of your table, all your good stuff. And see, that's what this society is about. That's what this age is about. Eating shrimp, eating seafood, eating crawfish, just eating a lot of expensive stuff. Even if they're on entitlement programs and things, they go buy the best of things. They treat themselves, tailgating and partying, gluttony. So that's all you're thinking about is feeding the flesh and not starving the flesh and strengthening the spirit man. Yes. See, so Daniel and them was able to do that. That's why these guys was able to go through the fire, because they had been following God all along. If you haven't been tithing when you've been poor in all these years, if you hadn't been going with God, it's going to be mighty hard to pony up millions of dollars. It's going to be mighty hard to, when you get that big wide, to give God a big portion of it. See, so as you live, you condition yourself. If you used to just watching an hour or two of television, well, you can get studied time in, time with God. But if you used to sitting there watching everything that come on television, it's going to be hard to discipline yourself away from that. You can't just start serving God and just serve him wholeheartedly. The body is already addicted to something, and sometimes you have to wean yourself off certain things. You have to practice and exercise reading. It's just like lifting weights and things. It takes time to build up to the point where you're lifting a large amount of weights. It takes time, prayer time, to come in and pray an hour or two. If you can't pray 5 or 10 minutes and your mind wondering, you running out of things, say, it's no use in thinking you go get out there and pray an hour, half an hour to God. You're not conditioning. You have to condition yourself in these things. These young men was conditioning. He says, well, look, we're going to give you one more chance here. You don't have to really stay down there. Just curtsy to me and just bow down and worship. Get back up. That's all you got to do. But they say, no. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful. In other words, we don't have to take our time and find out what we're going to do here. We're not going to bow down and worship you. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. See, they knew of Jesus Christ. Last week, we've been studying here lately in Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians, the fourth verse. Is where we've been at. And it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Even if Jesus Christ died himself, if he gave of his body to deliver us from this present evil world, nothing in this world has a grip on us. Not death, not anything. He says, who can deliver you from my hand? He says, King, we don't have to be careful to answer you in this. They said, but if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. Now watch what they're saying. They're not saying that they're going to live. We don't know what God's will is for us, in particular each one of us. We know what God can do, but we don't know what God will do. Huh? See, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, his fleshly, his body, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. If it's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. If it's any other way for this to occur, that's what they're saying. We know God can deliver us. But see, if we have to go through death, he's right there in death with us. He's right there in the grave with us. That's what Job said. Bury this body. But yet in my flesh I shall see God. We don't fear death. You can't have that spirit of fear. You shouldn't have the fear of man. What Nebuchadnezzar, what the president, the governor, mayor, your pastor, your parents, your children, anybody can do for you. I'm following God. Regardless of what you say. Whatever happens, happens. The consequences are there. But I've been serving God this long, and he's been with me, and I'm not getting off the train here. Not for something you say, King. He's able to deliver. Christ, we know we're standing in a different perspective. In other words, we can see differently than they can see. See, they was looking toward the cross. We're looking back at the cross. We know that this has happened, that he have already died to deliver us from sin. So we're not going to serve sin any longer. We're not going to continue in sin. We're not going to worship men. We're going to have to be thrown into the fiery furnace. If it takes our children not following us, calling us old fogey or old timey or whatever, let them do that. I just have to be alone, son. But I can't let you leave my life. I have to live by my faith in my God. So your children wanted you to get out there and say, well, this is the way we do it now. Let me teach you the old road then, son. See, I'm the parent here. Just like God is our father, you have many fathers in this world. But Paul said, though you have many fathers, you be of that one father. The scripture tells us you only have but one father. Paul was telling them this in the book of Corinthians. He said, though you have many instructors, see, all these evangelists and teachers and people you hearing on the internet and people you hearing on television or television, they're instructors, but you only have one father. You were begotten by the gospel, by the good news. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul laid that foundation. No other foundation can any man lay. That's the only way we deliver. We need to follow those instructions. We need to follow that God. It's always some new thing. The people always have some gimmick of following Jesus Christ. And how many different books and things you done heard of following of Christ? Following WWG, all these things, and prayer of Jabez, and increasing your border, the purpose-driven life, all these other gimmicks and things. Give me the scriptures. Let me learn what the word of God says and walk therein. It's too many different things to get off on a tangent. Let me just listen at my preaching and follow after God. That's what he gave us to. So we won't have to dance around. We won't have to pay for the gospel. This king, when he got ready to toss him into the fire, the men that tossed him in there, they even burned. And believe me, right now a lot of us suffering for what we've told our children. A lot of the children are suffering for what they have said to the parents. A lot of us are going through the furnace because we wouldn't bow down and worship the gods of this present age or the gods of this world. See, Satan said, bow down and worship me and all these kingdoms will be yours. You see, I probably could have had a larger church than this if I'd have followed some of what the people wanted me to follow. You understand that? See, sometimes Satan offers you the things of the world, and as Moses turned away from the things that Pharaoh offered, he could have been a Pharaoh himself, second in line. All of the kingdoms of the world of that time and age would have been his. But he turned his back on those things to follow after God. We have to turn our back on a lot of things in life to follow after God. It's a fiery furnace. I was on my job. hate to keep using myself as examples, because a lot of people have to use some people I don't know sometime or whatever, because we don't have the testimonies we should have in the churches. We don't have the testimonies in our lives because God is not working in a lot of people's lives because the churches are not full of converted people today. They have a people that know of God, but they're not experiencing God in a day-to-day walk to get up and allow their testimony to help pull somebody else to God. I was making good money at Southern Livestock Supply where I was working. But things began to change to where they wanted me to do things against the principles that my mother had installed into me through the Word of God, through church, and some of the things that God, through other people, had. I couldn't follow that pattern of the world of gain. I had a nice home, but my father had a home that was, somebody was living in it. Some of my cousins or relatives was living in it, kind of as a crack house. But I had a nice three-bedroom home out there. Was it three or four bedrooms? But it required me to live differently and treat people differently. And the owner that was running, his wife came to me and says, "Emerson, just go along with him. Just do these things. You don't want to go against him." And I said, "Well, God is able. God is able." And I was studying the book of Jeremiah during that time, and God was revealing and saying things. It didn't hurt to me when he said, "Well, I'm going to have to let you go. It's not that you're not a good worker or anything. We just don't agree." Well, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? How can two walk together? But I've been going through the fiery furnace ever since then. I hadn't driven the cars I had then. I don't have a Cadillac any longer. My children didn't live as well as they, but they were able to live, and all of them are grown. God has lifted them up. God has brought me a long ways. I hadn't starved during that time. I may have to borrow. I may have to live different ways, but the fiery furnace ain't so bad if God's in there with you. If God's in the fiery furnace, you won't miss. Because you'll get sleep, you'll be able to rest because you're not messing over people. You're not treating people any kind of way. The world wants you to treat people with their mentality. We've been discussing that. This present evil world is about competition. It's about hatred. It's about get all you can. It's about serving yourself. It's about pride. It's about lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. I'm somebody, I'm this and that. But God tells me, life has much more than that. Eternal life has abundance in Christ Jesus, who died to deliver us from this present age. So why should I get caught up in that world to keep material things that are passing away? So I didn't know what God had in store for me. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse. As I said, I don't tell anybody not to listen to this preacher, this teaching, because there's a lesson to be learned in all things. No matter who say anything, you can learn whether good or bad. That's why the Old Testament was written for our admonition. The Bible itself tells us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says, "After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers, in other words, guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings of the gospel." In other words, it was through his teaching. But, you know, honey is good, but too much honey will make you sick. Eating food is good for you, but to eat too much is gluttony. That's why on Thanksgiving, a lot of people just fall asleep from eating or whatever. They say the turkey do it, but no, you're just too full. You just have to roll off somewhere and let it digest down before you can move around again. It's the same way with the Word of God. God himself told Moses, Moses, don't come before me all of the time, too often. In other words, don't stay in my presence. You couldn't take staying in the presence of God in the condition you're in. The Kings told Paul, say, too much study has made thee sick. So, it's sermon audio. I've learned a lot from some different teachers and preachers on sermon audio, and I'm not saying that they're not good teachers and preachers that come on television. But know that there's a lot of evil out there. And everything you hear, it's not true. And it says, prove all things. The Bereans listened at what people say, but they went back and studied those things to see where they sow. Now, the danger in this comes is that right now, this morning, a lot of churches start early in the morning. Some people go to the 7:30 service or whatever time. But then the next portion of the day around noontime, 11 or 12, they're at somebody else's church. The next portion of the day, they might be somewhere else that late that night or whatever. I'm not saying to be too spiritual minded, but you have to watch what you're eating and who you're eating from. See, because everybody that's preaching or teaching the gospel can be teaching it to your destruction or your confusion. You hadn't had time to assimilate what they said, and now you don't know what's true and what's right. Whereas if you went and ate breakfast and you went to that church and you took back and studied and prayed over what that preacher or teacher said, you could have saved yourself from time and money from going to those other two or three just by living off that, what he told you that morning, whether it was just one or two verses, a couple, an hour or so of preaching or teaching. If you assimilate that, that's able to carry you. You can't know everything. Some people want to know everything. A lot of times people say, well, why you didn't say this preacher? Why you didn't say, see, that was one of my mistakes, and y'all have been patient with me. But it says a novice or a young preacher, sometimes we try to say it all, and we can't say nothing all at one time. It'll take eternity to learn everything in here. It'll take eternity the infinite infinitude of God. See, because he has all knowledge. So we have to grow in this. And sometimes we have to put the book away. Sometimes we have to put the Bible down and go live. He says, Daniel, put it up, go your way. In other words, live what you didn't learn. You can't continue. You go put that application to work. Put that knowledge and gain understanding and gain wisdom by experiencing these things, by walking in this. And that's what the Hebrew boys did. They were in the fiery furnace. The ropes burned off the affliction of the things of affliction, the things that had bind them. You see, but a lot of us are in church and in places, but we bind by hostility because we mad because everybody ain't in church all day, every day like we are. We mad because people are not praying or have attitude. In other words, it's our nature, it's our wickedness that's binding us. The reason we can't see the light. The reason God hadn't delivered us, we've taken out our frustrations, our bitterness on someone else. And so we're bound the ties that bind us and bound by the things of ourselves. Listen at what Peter says. In the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, in the trial by fire, he says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trial you're going through as if something strange is happening unto you. Instead, be very glad for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for a murder, a stealing, or making trouble, or prying into other people's business. In other words, because people talking about you and doing this, is it true? Were you meddling in somebody else's business the reason you suffer? The fiery trial that you're going through, is it because you went there bothering somebody else? Is it because you said something you shouldn't have said? You was doing something, now you saying you suffering for Christ. No, it was your own self-centeredness that got you in this trap, that got you in this problem, because you wasn't obedient to the word of God to not bother with strife that don't belong to you. It was your own self-centeredness for not gauging in how much you should pay or how much you should do. Now you're suffering because you can't get your bills paid. Now you're suffering because you see this other person doing something that you envious of, and you hadn't been following Christ, and so your affliction is heavy to you because of yourself. You suffering as an evildoer. You wasn't obedient to the word of God. God didn't bring the suffering on you. You brought it up on yourself. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin where? With the house of God. And if judgment begins with what the terrible fate awaits those who don't follow God, who don't obey the gospel. So these boys followed God, and they suffered through affliction. Well, we know that there's going to be suffering entailed in the things that we're going through in life. Things that's always happening to us. But we have a bright outlook in things that's happening to us. We have joy in diverse temptations and sufferings and that, because God's working it out for a reason. But when you're in the middle of that, do you sometimes think, you know, I don't know what I did here and what I... He didn't send a comfort to you in the night? I went to bed praying the other night. I've been praying the last couple of weeks about things with my children. But he sent a comfort to me the other night. See, you have to ask God, the God of all comfort, to comfort you during those times of trial and affliction, to show you what's going on. I've been walking in your way. Help my unbelief, Lord. Show me my sin. Show me what I'm doing. See, that's why Job was questioning, because he knew he was paying tithes. He knew his money was going to the poor, the sick and afflicted. But all of a sudden, he lost all his money and all the stuff he had. So he knew something else was wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you suffer because, man, you know what? I shouldn't have spent that money. No, you shouldn't have did it. You knew it was wrong. You knew it was sin when you did it. You done fooled with this guy's wife, and now you in trouble. You in jail for drinking and driving. You knew it was sin before you drunk and drive, didn't you? You know it was sin before you committed adultery, didn't you? You know it was sin before you set up that did whatever you did wrong. You're not suffering as a Christian. You're suffering because of something you've done. See, they hadn't did anything wrong. That's why my son the other day, and I had to get up and leave. That's why I went to Big Lots. Because he said it was in the Bible. It doesn't say obey authority, those that have authority over you to obey the government. And I said, let me leave. I'm going to the store. I wasn't about to sit up there and argue with one of my children. Because it does say that. But he don't have sense enough to speak to me in such a fashion to open up dialogue to that. Because if he was open for dialogue, he could have read in those same scriptures in the book of Acts, where Peter told the Pharisees, it's better to obey God than man. God doesn't contradict his word. They said, didn't we tell you not to preach in his name? Didn't Nebuchadnezzar throw him in the fire for not doing what? You got to be willing to suffer for civil disobedience. If you disobey, God didn't let you that way. Because Pharaoh said, every Hebrew boy that's born, y'all kill him. The Hebrew midwives said, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's not right. And God blessed the Hebrew midwives. So if you're going against government, you better have God on your side. You better have God behind you, because believe me, the Romans come in there, when that government gonna come knocking on that door, what you gonna do then? Your heart go to beating and everything. God can keep you calm during that time. They didn't panic when they was getting ready to go in the fire. But if it's something you done, you go panic. You go be scared. But God's gonna strengthen you and give you a resolve if it's God behind it. God's gonna be able to let you face the firing squad. God will be able to let you stand there and stand with pride and Stephen stand as they stoned Stephen to death. Stephen looked up at God. If you want to be able to go through your trials and afflictions, you stand with God. But see, a lot of these churches, that's why Book of James, now you remember I was telling you about nothing wrong with the different instructors and the teachers. That was scripture, right? That is what Paul said. But James says, that's why I say, sometimes it seems as though scripture contradicting itself. But all you need to do is follow the Spirit. He'll lead you and guide you in all truth. The Book of James 3:1 says, be not many masters or teachers. In other words, don't listen to everybody what they're saying. Every teacher says, not many of us, or not many of you should become teachers. In other words, serving in official teaching capacity. If God says certain people shouldn't teach, in other words, if Paul says, I suffer a woman not to teach or usurp authority over God, I mean over man. Well, see, they're getting around that scripture today. It's many pastors and women that's pastors and teachers, and they're trying to take over in the Catholic Church. And they're, what? That's feminism. That's feminism. That's going against God's word. Because God's word says in an official capacity. See, Aquila and Priscilla, that wasn't an official capacity, even though Aquila and Priscilla was teachers. A man and husband team, a woman and a husband team were teachers. You understand? I hope you're understanding as we parse this out. He says, be not many teachers, my brothers and sisters. We who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard because we have assumed the greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. You understand? See, you didn't assume something. A lot of people that assume to be a preacher, a teacher, are something God had ordained him to do. Like I said, he's not going to stop you from doing what you want to do if you're not his child. He's not going to stop you. He told Adam not to eat of the tree, him and Eve. He didn't say, hey, Adam, hold on, don't eat of that tree. Didn't I tell you not to eat of that tree? Get away from there. Or did he let Adam do what he wanted to? Didn't he let him eat of it? See, sometimes look like it's after we do something that God stops us. Yes. But if it's part of his plan, he won't allow it. He didn't allow David to kill Nabal to get Nabal's wife. Abigail said, the Lord withheld your hand, stop you from committing sin. During the time of Abraham and Sarah, he didn't allow those kings to sleep with sin. See, God is sovereign. You have to see. If God gets me in the fiery furnace, it's because he wants me in the fire. Stop pulling people out of a financial distress. Stop getting people out of jail. Stop healing people or doing this if God hadn't told you to do it. Stop trying to, you end up in a bind yourself. Now we both broke. What's good, that's good to do. Well, you know, other people got to stick together. No, you might be poor for a reason. Now, if I give you all my money because you can't manage your money, now I'm the fool. Yeah, I've been tithing and scrapping and trying to get along all the time. But just because we can, you think I should pony up to you every time you need something. Let me tell you, Abraham, you get away from around your kin people. See, sometimes you have to get common sense. As Mr. Brown used to say, I got horse sense. Some people will never learn. Jesse Jackson says, I'm in a ditch and holding you in a ditch. Neither one of us ever get out the ditch. Don't get down in the ditch with the guy. Stay above the turbulence. Don't. If somebody's in a fiery trial to be the peacemaker, God has to put you in that position. God put them in the fire and he was there with them. Because Nebuchadnezzar looked in there. He said, didn't we throw three in there and I see four? Didn't we throw three men in there but one looks like the Son of God? Yes. How many times at nighttime, how many times you've been going through that dark hour and you just pray and talk to God because you know he's with you. You have faith, he's going to bring me through this. He going to bring me through this. I know God with me. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some fools out there that thanks God with them when he's not. You know, Samson, God had left Samson. He knew not that God had left him. He had been disobedient to God. And he thought he couldn't keep doing what he was doing. And God had left him. See, sometimes God leaves the building on you. He'll turn his face on you because you have been continuing in sin and he had warned you consistently. Sometimes you warn your children and warn them. After a while, don't you have to let them fall? Don't you have to take your hands off? Don't you have to, when they come in, they say, do you have a few dollars? No, I don't have a few dollars. Even though I might have it, but I don't have it to loan to you. Sometimes tough love is there. You have to ask God what to do. We have to be careful. That's why I said listen to all these different teachers. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. You have to be careful of how you're building. Paul laid the foundation. There are a lot of instructors and teachers out there. But that's why it's imperative that you study to show yourselves approved. Be good Bereans. Go back and study the scriptures to see is what they're saying. So what that preacher told you, what that individual told you. And you have to water that with prayer, though. You have to pray to God and seek God's face. And God open up your understanding to what's going on. He's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. God has to be the ultimate thing on your mind and in your presence all the time. Because you will be tried on what I've preached. You will be tried on life. Every day there's choices to make. There's choices to make, and that determines whether you grow in Christ. A lot of us are still making the same mistakes. We never grow. We're never able to get the meat of God's word because it's the same thing over and over. You even say to yourself, why does this keep happening to me? Why? That's insanity because you're repeating the same behavior. You expect a different result and you're repeating the same thing over and over. The 10th verse says, according to the grace, in other words, the preaching ability God had given me, like a skillful architect and a master building, I laid the foundation and another man is building up on it. But let each man be careful how he builds. Paul had preached to them the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The preacher lays that foundation. Now, another man may build up on it. You may go to different churches, and as I said, you may hear different preachers. That don't mean to leave your home church and then start following this other preacher or following this. You have to grow roots in one place. You understand? So a preacher of God is not jealous or envious of other preachers. As Paul said, some say, I'm of Cephas and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul. He said, no, we all serving the same master. But that gospel should lay upon the gospel. It should be consistent wherever it's preached or taught. So whether you listen to Paul, Peter, or Apollos, one's planting, one's watering, God give it the increase. God's giving the increase, so listen to who, you know, like I said, be led by the Spirit of God. But we're not responsible. Let each man be fully persuaded in his own mind because you will be led or followed by what's in your nature. You have to follow God. If you've been born again, God's going to feed you. He's going to feed you good food. He's going to feed you spiritual food. But if you a goat eat anything. A goat eat cans. A goat eat anything. You find some anything in a goat, but a sheep is selective of what he eat. He's going to refuse what some preachers are preaching. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they won't hear another. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ the Messiah. So that rules out Islam. That rules out anything that's not built upon the death, burial, or resurrection. You shouldn't be paying attention to that anyhow. The foundation is wrong. And he says, but if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each one will be plainly, openly shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. Amen. There goes the fire again. He's going to test you by fire. He says, and the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person have done. What character you have. Are you, what nature you are. Let's see what that preacher preached into you. Was that pastor really building Christ in you? Was he you digging deep and building on the right foundation? Or was it money coming that you were building on? Was it pride? Was it lust of the flesh? Was it being popular? Was it things of this world? Was it association and being with the in crowd? He says, if the work which any person has built on the foundation, any product of his efforts whatsoever survives this test, he will get his reward. But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of all of it, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through the fire. We all have to go in the fire. There's always going to be a fiery furnace for us. So no matter what family or who you in, that family can't go through the fire for you. You got to go through that for yourself. Abraham was a wealthy man and he had all kinds of goods. And that money and stuff rubbed off on Lot. God separated Lot from Abraham, didn't he? Lot had plenty of stuff. But what happened was, brother Lot was righteous, right? Because in the book of Peter says, God saved righteous Lot. But he saved him by the skin of his teeth. Lot barely make it out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Evidently, he didn't live of a good character because he lost his wife. She didn't listen to him. Now, I don't know if it was Lot's fault or was it the wife. You can't give account for your wife. That's why Job's wife, when you know, husband and wife, it doesn't say in the Bible, they go as a unit. One will be taken the other and left. You might be married some old no good man or some old no good woman, but you better love her, though. That's God's command. Love your husband, love your wife. He gave them to you while you're here, but nothing in eternity says you're going to be matched. They don't marry or give any married in heaven. So you're not going to have the same relationship in heaven. So you don't go as a couple. His daughters, he had lost all of his sons and daughters except him, two daughters that got him drunk and they got pregnant for him. So he left all of his stuff. He had to leave all of his stuff behind. He lost his wife and he got his daughters pregnant. But he was righteous. But he didn't have no matches in there. He got out by the skin of his teeth. See, it's a lot of us go get out by the skin of their teeth. I noticed Deacon this morning, he's trying to put some treasure up for heaven. I walked by him, I'm just kind of put an eye on him. He's trying to put up some treasure for heaven. See, each time you stuff into an envelope, everybody will say you could have did this or did that. Your wife or husband or children, somebody, oh, you should have used that money for that. That's because the church got money. But you're trying to lay up some money so you have money in the bank. Money you can pull from later on for when fiery trials come. I get in trouble if I don't remind Sister Harris, if she be in a forgotten, if I don't take up doing time that time come. And I'm thankful to God. I say that because, a couple of times last year we fell on her hard time. But each one that's here and some that ain't here, each time the church has fell on hard time, and those of who, hundreds of dollars, how many of y'all have given hundreds of dollars at one time? You know that. I was at Sister Harris' house, and she had given the money. I said, you sure this right, Sister Harris? Want me to make that this check right? She said, yeah, it's right, Pastor. I said, you sure? Yeah. I come back that next time, the big old nice dining room sitting there. Lord bless you, young sister. Man, I was scared. I said, should I put this in the bank? Let me access this right. We was in another bind a while back when we had a visitation from Sister April. She came in and she gave some. I said, that's good. She's a good giver or whatever. But then a couple of weeks before she left the other time, I said, Sister, I looked at the check and I said, this is right. Man, okay, thank God bless you, because God is able. We don't discount God. He's able to do this. He's able to keep us. He's able to bless us. though we go on through trial and tribulation, though you have a little, God can make a lot come in. Though you have problems in life, God can cover you in those problems. So don't bend, don't bow for the gods of this world. There's going to be a fiery furnace and you will suffer. But don't go for that razzle dazzle, say, bow down and worship me. You just do this. And like the guy that came forth in the lottery the other day that won $500 and some million. This is the second time or something he had played the lottery or won the lottery or whatever. That's razzle dazzle. You go for the sure thing. You go for the sure thing. Just keep laying up a little bit at a time. Just lay back. Build on that solid foundation. You get, and that's what these boys had did. They had been trusting God for the little things. See, Daniel could have lost his life. They could have lost their life over food when they said, we're not going to eat of the king's food. So this wasn't the first time they had stood up. You remember they didn't want to eat of the king's table? But see, they had to not eat of his table before they could say, we're not going to bow. We'll have to go in the fire for it. See, it's a lot of things we say. You remember Peter says, Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, Peter, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying, because when them Romans came for Peter, Peter started cursing and going on and said he never knew him. See, when that things get real and the king of this government gets real, what you going to do when they come near? What are you going to do? When all else fails, do you really know that God is able to deliver you? If you've studied God's word, you'll know that he can deliver you from the fiery trials that you're going through. But it's necessary that he puts you through those fiery trials. Job hadn't did anything, but God put him through some fiery trials where he lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth, all of his cattle. He lost everything. He lost his health. He was in poor health. But if God has taken your health away, if God has done anything, God is not a capricious God. He's not doing things just to be doing things. He has a plan. He says in the book of Amos, he says, I, the Lord, I do good. I bring calamity in your life. God brings the calamity in your life, but he'll lay nothing on that you that you can't bear. He's not going to put anything on you that you can't shoulder. And if you die in the flames, that means you're free from the world. Paul said he didn't know whether it was best to die and be with Christ or to go through what but he didn't have a choice. He had to do what God wanted him to do. So he said, King, we're not going to bow, we're not going to bend. We're not going to do anything you want us to do in this fashion toward worshiping your images of the things of love, not the world of the things of the world. See, a lot of people were saying, look, y'all high ranking officials, you're a vice president. You're the head of the FBI. You could just let this guy go. Just do what the president's telling you to do. That wouldn't be right. I'm going to stand on righteousness. Now, they're sending Comey through a fiery trial here. They're sending him through a whole lot. But you have to take a stand for something. You have to take a stand somewhere, even though they crucify you. But you take up your cross and follow after Christ. There are a lot of them, this administration crucifies and cause all kinds of damage. But let them do what they want to do to you. You stand up on. Now, I'm not saying Comey is perfect, that he didn't do something. I don't know what he did with his email things or whatever. None of our lives are perfect. But if you standing up on the principles of God, you being an example to somebody else. How many young people that those Hebrew boys was an example to that they went into that fire? How many of them said that? See, because we don't want to do anything unless it's a guaranteed thing, unless we're sure of it, you know. We don't have any faith. We don't have any. We have to see. Lust of the eye. In other words, we have to possess this. We don't trust God. In other words, we don't give to God first and give God an opportunity not to do this. We don't try. He says, try me and see. So you have to have faith. You don't know that God's going to do these things, but you have hope in him. You have faith in God. Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Parent, these young men please God. Heavenly Father, as we